starting a new series before I go into the book of James. And this series in the morning services is going to be called Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. If you have your study notes, see if you can find the wolf there, because there is a wolf amidst the sheep pack there. But specifically today, I am going to be dealing with Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen, and he is a very, very popular, probably the most popular preacher in the United States. In fact, he has the largest church in the United States of America. And at the opening of each one of his services, he holds up his Bible and he says, "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same in Jesus' name. God bless you." Now you say, what in the world is wrong with that? Well, see, with a lot of false prophets, they are very, very eloquent with their words, and there is truth and error in what I just read to you this morning. I will be pointing out some of the things of this positive confession preacher and telling you why he is so popular, but we'll be talking to you about the deceptions that are within his teaching and preaching and within the whole Word of Faith movement. Now, you say, "Preacher, you're not supposed to identify people by name." Wrong. The fact of the matter is that the Apostle Paul pointed out Hymenaeus and Alexander and some others, too. I do not want you to be devoured by the wolves. And so that's why we're going to be talking about this. I want to lay the firm groundwork for you by having you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. This is a verse from which Pastor Darrell read our scripture reading this morning. But in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, it says very clearly this: "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Ravening wolves, you know. I was preaching one time, and after I preached years ago, a lady came up to me and she said, "You know, I've never seen a false prophet in all my life." The fact is there's false prophets all over the place, friends. And as you measure things by the Word of God, Joel Osteen is probably the most popular false prophet of our day, at least currently. I want you to turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, it says, "But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." False prophet, false teacher. Now, a false prophet says God told them things that he did not tell them and that are not biblical. See, a lot of preachers get up, you have to be careful of this, and they say, "God told me this and God told me that." Well, wait just a minute. This is the evaluation form, and as I've told you so many times, this Bible tells us what's right, what's not right, how to get right, how to stay right. And so somebody gets up and says God told him something and it doesn't line up with the Word of God. God didn't tell him it. But anyway, as we go on, it says, "But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false prophets among you, who privately, secretly, subtly bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Now, look at verse 2. Here's the day we're living in. "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken evil of. And through covetousness," the love of money, "through the love of money shall they with feigned words," molded words, wonderful words, words like this. Here is some of the words that greet the people quite regularly. And here's just one of them. Don't just accept whatever comes your way in life. You were born to win. You were born for greatness. You were created to be a champion in life. Well, that sounds real good and that sounds real positive, but it isn't necessarily true. He says, God wants us to live consistently. Well, I believe that, but here's how he wants you to live consistently. He wants us to enjoy every single day of our lives. Wait a minute, friends. Wait a minute. What are you going to do with the Apostle Paul who's standing for the Lord Jesus Christ and he's beaten with rods? Oh, I enjoy that. You know, that isn't necessarily true. It's going back to the scripture. It says, through covetousness shall they with feigned words, molded words, make merchandise of you. Religion's big business, friends. He's made millions of dollars on books. Whose judgments now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. The next few weeks, as I've mentioned, we're going to be looking at false teachers and their teachings. And as we move towards the end of the age, there is going to be a proliferation of false teachers and false prophets. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and in verse 1 and 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, here's what the Word of God says. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's the times we're living in, friends, that at the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with the hot iron. That is the times that we are living in. Today, the Word of Faith movement, also called the Faith Movement, the Prosperity Gospel, name it, claim it, and the Positive Confession movement, today, that is the fastest growing segment of Christianity worldwide that there is. There is none growing faster than that movement. The largest church in all the world is Paul Yonggi Cho's church in South Korea, and it's one of these Positive Confession churches. And Joel Osteen's church in Houston, Texas, the Lakewood Church is the largest church in the United States of America. But bigness does not represent biblicalness, friends. I want to tell you just a little bit more about the word faith cult. I'm going to call it the WOF in your notes. Sounds a whole lot like wolf. But anyway, I'm going to call it WOF, Word of Faith Movement. We're going to be talking about that. Let's look a little bit at the Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, that right now Joel Osteen is the pastor of. By the way, Joel Osteen has absolutely, positively no theological training whatsoever. None, zero, zip. The most popular Word of Faith preacher in the United States of America today is Joel Osteen, and he preaches the prosperity gospel with an updated twist to it. Now, Joel Osteen has pastored the Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, since the death of his father, John Osteen, in 1999. His father, John, began the Lakewood Church in a dusty, abandoned feed store on Mother's Day in 1959. John, his father, was originally a Southern Baptist pastor, but this Southern Baptist pastor got deceived by the charismatic movement and eventually associated with the Word of Faith cult, and was a big crusader for this false positive confession teaching. Positive confession is just one of the doctrinal pillars of the Word of Faith theology. There's basically three there, and we'll look at them briefly. But let me explain to you the theology of the spoken word. There are some people who put this Greek word to it. They call it rhematology. Rhematology. And they say that your spoken word has power like God's spoken word, where God spoke things into existence. They call the positive confession movement, thought actualization, and it stresses the inherent power of words and thoughts. In other words, and I've seen it happen to Christian friends of mine, they bought into this. If you confess you're healthy, you'll be healthy. And by the same token, if you confess you're not healthy, then you'll not be healthy, because they say your words are very powerful. If you confess success, you'll be successful. They say that each person predestinates his own future. That isn't what the Bible says. But they say that each person predestinates his own future, and what he says verbally will be how he how it works, because there are spiritual laws that are put into place that can't be changed. So what you confess is what God is forced to do. That's a bunch of baloney. But as such, it is as if life is a mechanistic universe instead of a personal one. And where did I get this? Well, from Kenneth Copeland's book, The Laws of Prosperity, from Charles Capps' book, too, in the Positive Confession Movement. Let me just put it down in real clear words. What they're saying is that we can create or change reality by the power of our words. Now, hang on just for a second. That's bogus. Turn with me to James chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. James chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, first of all, it says this: from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your own lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill, ye desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, and ye have not because ye ask not. All right, sometimes people don't ask and they don't get their prayers answered. But look at this second one. And ye ask and ye receive not because ye ask amiss that ye might consume it on your own lusts. A whole lot of this positive confession movement is asking for things like wealth and asking for things like prosperity and demanding those type things. But God says you're not going to get, I don't care what word you say, oh, I want a brand new Rolls Royce. I have a brand new Rolls Royce. I don't care how many times I say it. You know what? I don't need a stupid thing like that. If you have money and you want one, you go ahead and get one. But you know what? The only reason that I'd want something like that was for pride and for show. And the Lord says, you ask amiss that you might consume it on your own lusts. It doesn't line up with the Word of God. But not only that, in this positive confession movement, instead of saying, as Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10 says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It is my kingdom come, my will be done. That's what the positive confession movement is all about. It's about me, my, and mine, and what I want, and what I positively say. And when I say that, God is forced to do what I want him to do. That is not a biblical God. That is not a biblical view. And I don't care how sweetly you put it. Because right here, you think about the positive confession movement and you think about the thing that I shared with you to begin with. And see if you don't hear now the positive confession in it. This is my Bible. This is my Bible. That is true. It belongs to me and not Michael. Okay? It says, I am what it says I am. Well, kind of. It says I am a sinner and I am a sinner. And it says that I should live victoriously, but I don't always live victoriously. So there's truth and error in that. It says I have what it says it has. Well, not necessarily. I have what it says I have. No, not necessarily, because if you don't walk in the Spirit, you're not going to have the fruit of the Spirit. I can do what it says I can do. Well, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But if I'm not tapping upon the Lord Jesus Christ, saying that positively isn't going to make me unworldly. Today, I will be taught God's word. Yes, that is true. I am going to do my very best to teach you God's word. And then this, here comes out. I boldly confess that my mind is alert. I want to tell you, I'm struggling this morning. My mind isn't really alert. I prayed and asked the Lord to help me to be alert. I'm kind of tired this morning. And my leg hurts. So, you know, there you go. You confessed it wrongly. So, you know, boy, you're going to be in trouble. My heart is receptive. Well, I hope your heart is receptive, but saying so isn't going to make it so. All right? I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Well, you see, That's the positive confession movement. And there's things more and more and more on the positive confession movement. You need to follow your own heart in light of God's word and do what you feel is right and good for you. Woo, doggies! I'm not sure about that. In fact, I know it's not true. All right, well, the point is that in the positive confession movement, it's all about me, my, and mine. But you know what? I want to let you know that you're supposed to set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. You might go to heaven being a pauper financially, but you will be rich if you have lived consistently in the Word of God and put it into practice in your life. I want to talk to you about the other two pillars of the Word Faith movement, and that's the gospel of health. The gospel of health, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the gospel of wealth. You see, in the positive confession movement, they tell you that healing is a part of the atonement. And where do they get that from? Well, in the Old Testament in Isaiah 53:5, and in the New Testament in 1 Peter, where it repeats the Old Testament verse. But it says in Isaiah 53:5, with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And, you know, so they say that with his stripes we are healed. That's talking about physical healing. And they're talking about blanket healing for every Christian who, and then they clarify it, has enough faith. If you're not healed, you don't have enough faith. Kenneth Hagin, who is big in this in a number of years, Kenneth Hagin says this: it is the plan of our Father God in his love and his great mercy that no believer should ever be sick, that every believer should live his life full span down here on earth, and that every believer should finally fall asleep in Jesus. Well, you know, there's a big problem with that. Joel Osteen puts it this way: start calling yourself healed, happy, whole, blessed, prosperous. Stop talking to God about how big your mountains are and start talking to your mountains about how big your God is. And he's preaching that prosperity gospel again. Certainly, we should come to the Lord in prayer, because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You see, there's truth and error in this, and that's what a false prophet does. He puts a little bit of truth and then puts a little bit of error, and he comes out with this. Do you know what? When I was growing up, as I've told you before, when you would open a box of rat poison, you know what you would see? You would see wheat, you would see corn, you would see barley. And you put it down there, and the rat comes and says, "Whoa, wheat, corn, barley, ain't good." The only problem, there's warfarin in there. You know what that does? Makes you bleed. You know what the rat did? He bled. You know what the rat did? He died. And you know, there's a lot of Christians who are feasting at this table of the Word of Faith movement, and they're getting themselves in a whole lot of problems. I just want to tell you something. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 10, the Apostle Paul prayed three times for this ailment that he had. Three times! And you know what? He had it all the rest of his life. And I want you to know that Paul left Trophimus sick in Miletum, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. And so something doesn't match here. If, as Kenneth Hagin says, it is the plan of the Father in his great love and his great mercy that no believer ever be sick, there's a problem here. Do you think the Apostle Paul was a man of faith? I vote that he was. And then the gospel of wealth. Another tenet of the prosperity gospel is that it's God's will every Christian be financially prosperous. If a believer lives in poverty, he or she is living outside of God's intended will. As Copeland writes, you must realize that it is God's will for you to prosper in His laws of prosperity. Problem is, the Scripture says, set your affections on things above and not on the things of the earth. Problem is, 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Men and women of faith throughout the Christian ages, some of them have always suffered terribly. The Church of Jerusalem, they took up special offerings for the believers of the Church of Jerusalem. It was so hard. And turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 36 through 40. In Hebrews chapter 11. And then in verse 36 through 40. After it talks about, this is the faith chapter. It talks about God's faithful servants. It talks about Moses there. It's very, very clear on Moses. And it talks about Rahab the harlot. And it talks about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Joseph and David and Samuel and the prophets. And it talks about how that they were victorious. But that isn't necessarily true of every believer, because in verse 36, it gives the flip side of Hebrews chapter 11. And others had trials of cruel mockings, scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins. Look at this. Being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and in the mountains and in the dens and the caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, not right then, God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I want to tell you, throughout all my years of ministry, I have met some believers who have prospered wonderfully, and I have met others that have suffered greatly, but they are believers. They've gone through thick stuff. Friends, I just want to tell you that the Word of Faith movement, the positive confession movement, the name it, claim it, that is a false, deceptive, lying theology. And Joel Osteen has magnified these false doctrines even more than his father John did. And he has stated this in one of his sermons, because I listened to portions of his sermons this past week in preparation for this. And here is what Joel Osteen said in one of his sermons on the Holy Spirit, part one. It's God's will for you to live in prosperity instead of poverty. It's God's will for you to pay your bills and not be in debt. It's God's will for you to live in health and not in sickness all the days of your life. I had a couple who came to me about 20 years ago. And one of these Word Faith people had gotten a hold of them. One of these Name It, Claim It people had gotten a hold of them. And had convinced them that they should send them $10,000 because, and they quoted Scripture, if they would do that, God would have to bless them, what, 100-fold or 10-fold? I forget what it was, but there's a Scripture talks about that. And so you know what they did? They cleaned out their bank account and they sent it to... Liars! And you know what? They were broke. They never saw a cent. They wrote and said, "You promised this. Where is it? It's not happening." You know what they got back? They had the money because you know what they were doing? They were making merchandise of you, of them. They did get a stack of books, of Word Faith books. They weren't even good for the birdcage. But anyway, they did get a stack of books. Did anybody charge you $15 to get in here today? Oh, good. Well, don't try to go to an Olstein thing. It costs you $15. If you have one of their special Olstein things, you'll get charged $15. And when you got $100,000, you figure $100,000 times 15. Well, you know, be careful. I'm showing you a false prophet. And you know what? There's people here in the church who listen to Joel Osteen. And he is fun to listen to. You feel so good when you get done. I mean, you walk out on cloud nine. We're going to continue Joel Osteen next week. But friends, there's a lot of people out there making merchandise of dear folks. Because he is not going to tell people they're sinners. He is not going to preach anything, as you'll see next week, controversial. When he was interviewed on Larry King Live, I would be embarrassed. Some of the things he said, well, you know, who's going to go to hell? Well, I don't know. I don't think I really understand that. Let me tell you who's going to go to hell. Larry King said, are Jews going to go to hell? Well, Larry King is Jewish. I don't really understand that. You know what? Anybody who isn't saved is going to a crisis eternity in hell. That might not make you feel good, but if you get under conviction, you might get saved, and then you'll feel good when you go to heaven. So, friends, next few weeks, you're going to hear about some of the false teachers and false prophets that are in our day. Next week, we're going to continue on Joel Osteen. If you will keep your notes, your study notes, you will have a little booklet, a little compendium of some of the most popular today. Oh, by the way, do you know that Joyce Myers is this Word of Faith movement? She's very, very popular. And, you know, women preachers are so biblical. There's so many of them that we won't be getting all of them. It's not possible, but we will getting some of the key ones. We'll be dealing with one in the emergent church. But beware. Wolves in sheep's clothing. A wolf doesn't come out and say, I'm going to eat you up. No, he says, something good is going to happen to you today. It is my prayer that something good is going to happen to you today. Don't misunderstand me. I don't want evil to befall any of you. We pray for you and we do care about you. But we also know that as preachers, we have a charge to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine so that you aren't deceived, so that you can get under conviction and respond to the Holy Spirit, and so that you will not be deceived. But you know what a tragedy. So many Baptists, and even Baptists who have sat right here in this church over the years, they get sucked up by the false prophets and their teachings. I have some that have gone to Mormonism. Some that have gone to the Jesus-only cults. Yes, some that have gone to the Word of Faith cults. Pastor Darrow and I do our best to warn you, but all we can do is issue that warning. You need to listen and heed. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to call upon His name and be saved.